make sure this thing's working. This is an interview with William I. Swanston, S-W-A-N-S-T-O-N, Captain, United States Coast Guard, retired at 157 Honey Lane, Battle Creek, Michigan, 49-015. And the phone number here is area code 616-WO, that says in Walbach, or world, W-O-8-6959. And it is April the 29th, Tuesday, about 9:30 a.m. in the morning. We're sitting in a lovely sun porch here at Captain Swanston's place in Battle Creek, looking out over the beautiful lake, and the sun shining through for the first time in 2 or 3 days. I think we're going to have a good day. What does the I stand for?
English.
English?
Yeah.
How do you spell that?
I-N-G-L-I-S.
I-N-G-L-I-S.
Yes, that's... I wasn't born in the United States. I was born in Scotland.
You were born in Scotland?
Yeah, English, Scotch name.
I see. What part of Scotland?
Greenlaw.
Let's see if I'm getting this. Check this report. You'll soon forget that thing's there. When were you born?
1907, and I came over, Well, I was 4 years old when I came over. And, my father was a mechanic. At that time, the Native Pacific Railroad was recruiting a lot of Scotch mechanics and people for the railroad. And they had a big roundhouse here in Battle Creek. The Grand Trunk Railroad was, at that time, a subsidiary of Native Pacific. So that's how we came to Battle Creek.
That was you were 4 years old. That'd be 1911 then.
Yes, about 1911.
What was your birthday?
August 17th.
There, you're Leo, huh? August 17th, 1907.
1907. Yeah.
What was your father and mother's name?
James, and my mother's name was Esther.
Esther.
Mm-hmm.
E-S-T-H-E-R. They spelled Swanston the same way then?
Yes, they did. But for a while after we came to the United States, they dropped the T out of it. I don't know.
It is Swanston.
Yeah, I mean, because no one seemed to get the T anyway. But when I was in high school, I went back to put the T back in.
Were you raised here in the Battle Creek area?
Yes, I went to school here in high school, and then went to the University of Michigan.
I know you have a sister.
Well, I have a brother and two sisters. I was the youngest one.
You were the youngest.
And now my oldest one in the family, my sister, lives with me here.
And you were all raised in here in Battle Creek, Michigan, then?
Yes, except... I was the youngest one. In fact, I went to school in Scotland, too, a little bit before I came here. We had some school.
Your roots are really right here, then.
Yeah.
you went to University of Michigan. That would have been about, what years was that?
1925.
1925. Would that be your class?
No, my class is the class of 1930. I graduated... And that was the height of the Depression days.
Boy, it sure was.
And it was tough to get a job. I know that I was in the engineering school at Michigan. There were only 1/3 of the graduating class got jobs. I got a degree in naval architecture and marine engineering, and there were only 6 of us graduating there, and we all got a job, but it was as a draftsman in naval shipyards, $25 a week.
Which was where was the job at?
Well, there were Some of them
were... Oh, I see. The ones who did get jobs.
Yes. They were various places, various shipbuilding companies. There was a Great Lakes Shipbuilding Company then. I think it's Toledo on the Great Lakes. And then the Fall River in Massachusetts. And, you know.
Were you one of the lucky ones?
Well, yes. Well, we all were. Us in naval architecture. But about 2 weeks before we graduated, two captains from the Coast Guard came through recruiting university graduates and offering a temporary commission as an ensign in the Coast Guard. Well, I always had an adventurous spirit and everything, and I couldn't see where this job was going to lead to anything in those days. So I was the only one that went in the Coast Guard at that time.
They did a good recruiting job on you.
Well, yes, mostly because I really thought that it would. Another reason why they wanted to get married, and the Coast Guard offered, it was $125 a month for an ensign, plus $21 for subsistence if you were married.
was that Thelma?
Yes.
How long had you known her?
Well, I knew her in high school here.
Here in Battleford?
Yeah.
And you dated her while you were going to college? And
well, no, not really. She moved to Indiana and went to the University of Indiana, and so I saw her quite very seldom. And but when I graduated and went to the Coast Guard, my first leave, I drove up through Indianapolis. I stopped to see her. And that was it.
What was her maiden name?
Well, her maiden name was Brandon.
B-R-A-N-D-O-N.
Yes. And she was Scandinavian. In fact, she lived for a while, a little girl in Copenhagen.
But you knew her in high school and had dated her then.
Yeah.
And then, but when you were in college, she'd moved down to Indiana, and so you didn't really hardly see her.
No.
But you remembered pretty well. You looked her up the first time you got to Indiana. But you were in the Coast Guard already then. You said you wanted to get married when you went into the Coast Guard.
Well, that was a tough thing to do back in around 1930 and 31, the Depression. The young boys just didn't get married. They weren't sure of a job or anything else. I mean, it was a...
But you had Thelma in mind all that time.
Yes, I guess so. I really did.
When you were at the University of Michigan, and you got a degree in marine architecture and marine engineering, is that two different degrees?
It was combined degree. Yeah.
And later, you did the surveying. You were the navigation officer on the Itasca.
Not at the time I did the survey.
Not at that time.
No. Later on, I was.
Were you the head of the survey party?
Well, yes. The captain designated me to survey the island.
Get out there and get the sun to survey that
island.
That's
it.
I have two pictures of you actually doing the survey.
Yeah.
I'll show them to you. I want to identify some of the other people who were in the pictures. I'm trying to remember where they are. I believe possibly, did Ensign, do you remember who the other people were with you?
Oh, yes. One of them was Dick Mellon, and the other was Sutter.
Puppy Sutter?
I don't recall his first name.
I picked that
up. He had a nickname, but it wasn't very good.
What was his nickname, anyway? That's right.
Stud.
Stud Sutter. Betty didn't know that one.
I'm sure she did.
If she did, she didn't mention it. You three basically did the surveys.
Yes.
I want to find these pictures. This one picture, I'm not sure whether it's you or Mellon, and I want to identify the people. One is, this picture is the theodolite, and very interesting picture. As usual, I've got too much stuff. You're dressed properly for the occasion there.
Yeah, I borrowed a theodolite from the Navy, I remember. We didn't have one.
is that you working with theodolite there? Or
is it could be. But I don't recognize the other man at all.
Now let me, I have another picture with a plane table.
Well, that's probably Sutter or Mellon, probably, with a plane table.
And had a pith helmet on. And
yes, that's probably Sutter and Mellon, I imagine. They were two instances. But I'm not sure about that picture there.
I'm not either, now that I look at it some more, think about it.
I don't remember having my hair cropped short like that. But in a way, it does look like me, but I don't think so, because I don't recognize the other man at all.
You know,
this looks like, I don't know. I'm not sure he's using that as a theodolite there.
No, you know what I think that is?
He might be surveying something, maybe for the runway or something. Or
taking an upper air observation.
Or, no, I think you hit it. Yes, I think that's what that is.
Yeah. I wish I had that picture. I'll have to send you a copy of that picture of the operation on the plane table, because identify who that is. I remember, I can picture it. I think it's possibly Sutter. But where did you obtain your? I'll show you a lot of these pictures as we go along here. You'll find it interesting. Where did you? That's part of any engineering course, isn't it, to do surveying?
Oh, yes. I had, in fact, while I was a student, I had a job here in Battle Creek, laid out, as a surveyor, laid out all the central heating, piping for the central heating in the downtown area. I all worked all one summer. I think I was a senior in the university.
Oh, and you had some experience in actually surveying on jobs?
I had surveying at the University of Michigan.
I see. And you worked all one summer as a surveyor. And so that gave you a working...
I don't think so. I think most naval officers at that time had experience in using plane table and all that.
The theodolite observations that you took for the purposes of establishing the longitude, establishing latitude and longitude, with an acrochronometer in August of 36 was actually the first time that had ever been done.
Yes, nobody had cared before, you know, because they were just... Well, the first thing I found out was that they were all from 3 to 5 miles out in longitude. And the first latitudes were okay because, you know, even in the old days.
Yeah, well, you could take a zenith of the sun, you knew the declination was in pretty good shape.
But, and the maps that were there, they were pretty, very sketchy. We were interested in getting the reefs cut in, too, because they were interested in finding openings or best place to land or a possible dock or something like that. I remember when we were taking soundings and cutting in the reef was interesting. We had a motor launch. We had a motor surfboat. And a coxswain would stand up with a rudder tiller between his legs, you know. And we would, using these pylons we'd set up on the beach and using sextant angles, we were cutting in the outline of the reef and the soundings. But those islands were alive with sharks, particularly.
Sharks.
Tuna fish and sharks. I've never seen anything like it. And sharks were terrific because we'd be going along, everybody busy doing their job, and the coxswain standing up there. The first time, a shark hit the propeller and jammed himself into the between the rudder and the skeg of the boat, and knocked the coxswain out. I mean, he grabbed onto the both side. We didn't know what had happened. Well, then we found out that these damn sharks were just alive. It's even striking at the propeller of the launch. So that happened many times when we were sailing.
I see, but I don't remember seeing a power boat. I mean, the pictures, they were all being rowed. They were lifeboats.
These were where we were out cutting in the reef. You see, they were not extensive reef, but around there, cutting in the shape.
So you did have a power launch on board.
From the ship.
I see.
We had motor surf boats, they call them.
Self-bailing. Did they look about like a lifeboat today?
Yeah, somewhat. Clinker built, and, mm-hmm. you know. But they were self-bailing. You could turn them over and they'd bail themselves out themselves. And the motor was included.
I don't have a single picture of one. They were double-enders, were they?
Yes, yeah, double-enders.
But you didn't use those for going ashore?
Oh, no. We never put one of those on the beach. You couldn't. I got some pictures in one of the albums, I think, showing some of the surf and the boats coming in. Pretty rough, some of the places.
And so you, the sharks were that bad, they did actually attack the propeller.
Oh, terrific. They hit the propeller.
Well, I guess it'd be like a spinner, you know. I mean,
you can be sure the coxswain didn't stand up, the tow between his legs after that.
Well, if he'd gone overboard. You know, those Hawaiians, they fish out there and surf.
Oh, yeah. I spent, let's say, 4 or 5 days on each island, at nighttime, they built fires and they went fishing on the reef and then we'd have a big feast and somebody would be playing guitar and singing and I had a great time at night.
you remember Jimmy Kamakaidi?
I don't particularly know.
He was the leader at Howland. And he was there for about 2 or 3 years. He practically lived there.
Yeah.
He'd go home for about 3 months out of every year, and the rest of the time he spent on Howland.
I don't remember him particularly. I don't remember any of them particularly.
Well,
so many of them, we kept changing them all the time.
Before I forget, we'll go back and start at the beginning again, but you were telling me about the Itasca and how she came to her end.
Yes, she was transferred to the British. She and another ship, I don't know, maybe there's a Shoshone, possibly. And on the African landings, where they were trying to, they were in doubt as to what the French fleet was going to do in the harbor, whether friendly or not, or whether they were going to open up. And I think they understand that they sent the Itasca and the Shoshone to go in first to see. And I think says he was sunk there. It's in one of the war histories of the landings. And there's a picture of it. Possibly, I got the book from the library here, or maybe I have it upstairs. I'm not sure. I have a few there.
I'd very much like to.
Yeah, very interesting.
Make a copy of it or something. If you could further identify what book it was in, something, I'd look it up or whatever. So she was sunk then on one of the North African landings. You had to go a long way to her.
Yeah.
That would be about probably around 1943 then.
Yeah, I think it was about one in there somewhere. Yeah.
Well, you... I want to go back and finish up on that survey, and then we'll pick up the thread and carry the story through. When you You say you borrowed a theodolite from the Navy because you didn't have one aboard ship, or wasn't mm-hmm. Coast Guard didn't have one available.
No.
Then you knew when you went down there you were going to be making surveys of the island.
Yes, I've been told that's what we're going to do. Of course, we had to have plane tables and all the other equipment. And I drew up the charts too when it was completed, because I'd had mechanical engineering drawing. Yeah, I mean mechanical drawing in the university, and I drew it up. And we sent them in to the Coast Geodetic Survey right away.
Okay, and then you, did you do those drawings in Honolulu after you got back?
I think I did them on the ship.
You had,
as I recall, yeah.
Had enough of drafting the room and equipment.
Yeah.
You, I've seen the one on Howland Island that you did. And I have copies of that. I know you did Jarvis and Baker also on that trip. Did you think you were able to prepare all three charts by the time you got back to Honolulu?
Well, I think I had orders by the time we got back to Honolulu.
You better have them done. I see. Then when you got back to Honolulu, what did you? What happened to the charts?
Well, they were turned into the, given to the exec or the CO or something for approval, and they handled it from there on.
Went through normal channels.
Oh, I think so, yeah. They figured that they were going to be going down there a lot, and this looked like the most recent thing. Well, it'd be worthwhile putting a chart on it.
Did you remember ever seeing an update on the?
Yes, just once, I think. But it was years later.
That must have given you a little feeling of pride. To
well, yeah, I guess so. I was interested.
The world now responding to your
the sea Itasca or something, surveyed by the Itasca or something on there.
But it was several years before it got through the map service, and
I think it possibly a year, maybe. I'm not sure. I really don't. I haven't paid much attention to that.
Did you think much of your progress in navigational arts? Did you make any contrast between what you were up against and what the survey that was done almost 100 years before? And in your own mind, did you thought they did a pretty good job of having them positioned as well as they did, considering what they were up against?
Well, yes, they did, yes.
I'm just really trying to, I don't want to lead you into anything, but I'm trying to wonder if at the time you thought anything about it at all. I don't even know you as a person, whether you're the kind that reflects
that or not. Interested, because I'm always interested in old stuff like that. But to see the date on this Coast Geodetic chart of these, it wasn't too much of a survey, you know. The reefs weren't shown or anything, but just kind of a shape of the island. And, I was interested in that, and then to see the date on it, you know. But I didn't know that there was anything off on the latitude and longitude, I don't think, because you never have any trouble going down there, I mean, finding them particularly, because the weather is always nice, good visibility. But then after I started taking sights, I found out that they were all off, and then I figured, well, it would be reasonable. I mean, they didn't have a modern chronometer. They weren't able to take a time kick like we were, twice a day.
You took time kicks twice a day, you remember that routine?
Oh yeah, we did. At least twice. The chief quartermaster, that was his job.
He kept the rates on the chronometer.
Oh yeah.
When you say start taking sights, you mean the outlight.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Did you ever have any trouble finding the island coming down on cruises?
I don't recall any particular trouble.